You might be able to tell that I'm not from Lancashire. I'm a South Walian. I was born in Barry. Anybody go to Barry Island on outings? Yes, okay. So that's where I come from. Half French on my mother's side from the south of France. And until recent times, we had a home there. But now the family's all died off, so that part of our lives is finished. We actually now live in North Wales. You heard Leslie say that we live in a place called Pentarn Cottage. It's in a little village called Pantamuin, which means land of the mines. And it's a couple of miles from Mold, which is the sort of capital town of Flintshire. Anybody visited Mold?
Yes.
Yes? Yes, okay. Right, so it's quite a nice place. We're set in what's called the Cluigen Hills. So we're high up, we're above the snow line, so we get wonderful snows in the winter. And it's just a pretty place to be. It's an ideal place in many ways for leaders to be able to come, because you can literally walk out of our door and walk across the road and you're in forests, and there are lots of tracks to explore in the forest. You can go caving if you want to as well. So it's a lovely place just to be able to come and relax, as some of you have already discovered. It's okay, isn't it?
More than okay.
All right. So I hope some of you will be able to come and visit us. We're planning the next year as well to start doing some things again in terms of weekends with arts and the prophetic, and just exploring how our creativity can not only bless God, because it's a return of His gift to Him, but also we can bless others. And within that creativity, we've not only done painting, but we've done things like embroidery. We've done photography with Maureen. So we try to explore lots of different areas to gather as many people together and to help them to understand that they have a creative gift. Now, while we're talking about creative gifts, while we were worshipping the Lord, I felt the Lord speak to me a message for somebody here specifically. So I just want to give it. He showed it to me in the form of a picture. And I saw a picture of a large ear, okay, one of these, all right? And I just felt that there was somebody here who had been asking the Lord about their gift and how they could serve Him and what they could do. And I felt God wants to say to you, whoever you are, that God has made you an ear, a listening ear, and that you can use that gift in different ways. Now, you heard Leslie say that she taught listening skills. And sometimes she would sit in the cafe in the mile at Wrexham Hospital, a large NHS hospital, and just be there on the tables and be there to listen and to people. And there are different ways in which we can listen. You can travel by bus and ask the Lord really just to get someone to sit by you, and they might start sharing their story because you're an ear, or whatever it might be. Block of flats, go up and down on the lifts, see who else gets in the lifts, and see if they begin to tell you stories. Just lots of different ways in which you can be an ear and listen to people. So if that's you, you can come and talk to Leslie a bit more, but me if you want to. But I hope that will encourage you really in terms of understanding a little bit more about God and how He's made you. Right, so if you have a Bible, we can't put Bible verses up here, can we?
Yes.
Yes. Only just that if you haven't got a Bible or you're not using your phone, we could put up Luke 10, which is where I want us to go today. Luke 10, and we're going to go to a familiar story, and it's called the Good Samaritan. So I'm sure even if you haven't got a Bible, you'll be able to know the story. But somebody's going at the back. Anybody want a Bible then? There's a lady there. Nobody want a Bible? Okay, all right. So, you know the story of the Good Samaritan, don't you? Yes, anybody know the story of the Good Samaritan? What's the story of the Good Samaritan about? It's about a guy who makes a journey. He needs to get somewhere, doesn't he? And on that journey, he gets ambushed by robbers and thieves, and he's left for dead. And various people come along, refuse to help him, and then somebody comes along called the Good Samaritan and helps him. And I want to look at this in a number of different ways. So what did we decide about the screen and verses?
Yep.
So can we go to Luke 10 then on verse 25?
Shall I start reading? I'll start reading anyway. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. He stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Okay, it doesn't matter, it's not a problem. It can appear as an... Yes, that's okay, not a problem, anyway. So, the reason I've chosen that story this morning is because I want to help you to think about what you have that can resource, help, and encourage people in this community. Because you are Lawn Community Church, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And God has placed you here for purpose. I want to serve the purpose of God. That comes out of a little verse about David in Acts 13. When David had served the purpose of God, he died. So that's what life's about. Life is about serving the purpose of God, and then our work is finished and we can go home to be with the Lord. So I want to help you to think about ways in which you can, like the Good Samaritan, serve and help people that you will come across in this community. Now, I'm going to be a bit personal here at this particular point. I hope you'll cooperate with me. I want to find out, do you think Maureen brought a bag this morning with her? A handbag or a carrier bag?
Yes.
She did?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to show us the bag? Okay, it's not too large a bag, right? As opposed to my wife, which weighs a ton.
Okay. But you lift it with one hand.
Yeah, but I do lift it with one hand.
How did he get me to carry his thing?
Now, let's just do something for a moment. What do you think Maureen might have in her bag? This is where it gets personal. So, a phone. We got a phone in there?
It's on my lap, but it would be
there. Yeah, yeah, it would normally be there. All right, what else do you think might be in there?
A camera.
No, that's on my phone.
You have it on the phone. Right, okay, what else?
Tissues.
Yes,
we got tissues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
House keys, yeah, keys.
No, John's got those.
Right, okay.
Little wooden horns.
Is that a comb?
No.
No, okay, she's got a fan. A little wooden heart.
Right down in the depths.
Right in the depths, you'll notice that. Alright. Anything else you think she might have in there? Mirror?
No.
No?
Pen?
Yeah. Sunglasses?
Yeah, those at home.
Okay, alright.
Notebook?
Yes,
notebook.
Yes,
okay.
A card
with her name on.
Yes.
Okay, alright. Do you want to tell us what else that we haven't guessed is in there?
Because I took out my purse.
So there's no money in there.
I've got a letter from someone.
Okay. No Bible?
Yes, yeah. My Bible was in there.
Okay, all right. But no purse?
No, I left my purse at home. I'm like the Queen. I don't have a purse.
And you had cards which you've given away?
I have cards, yes.
Yes, which you give
away.
Yes,
yes.
Away. Okay, so presumably there is a reason why we believe Maureen has all those things in her bag. She thinks that they're important, they're essential, they're going to be useful. So I'd like to know tomorrow,
yes.
Will you take anything out and add anything?
I will put my purse in.
All right.
And my sunglasses.
Okay. So why?
Because I may go shopping.
Right.
And I think, yes, I
may go
shopping.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there is a reason for why Maureen or yourself. What have you got in your bag? Right. Okay. A purse.
Keys.
So you got keys. Anything interesting? So that's got water in it, is it? Yeah. Okay. So. Do you always carry a flask of water? Oh, okay, that's interesting. Anything else interesting in there that Maureen didn't have? Okay.
Oh,
and your glasses. Okay. So, I brought a bag this morning. I don't know whether there are many men here who brought a bag. Stephen. Stephen. Oh, Stephen. Okay. Well, right as well. Right. So, it would be interesting just to ask the men, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, we ask the men, really. So, Frank, Keith, then, you had quite a heavy bag on your back this morning, I noticed.
Oh, yes.
Hang on a minute, we're going to get... So, do you want to guess what Keith's got in his bag?
Yes.
Go on, then, let's get this. He might have... Will he have glasses, keys, car keys, house keys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bible.
Bible.
Yeah. I had a Bible, but I was reading it because we were talking about it.
Anything interesting in there, like a flask or anything?
Anything interesting? I've got headphones.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Access card to my work.
Okay.
Lanyard for my work.
Yeah. Okay. So he carries those things on a non-work day as well as a work day.
Same bag all the time.
Same bag all the time. Oh, look, there's a copy cup.
Just a few pens.
A few pens.
I've had this phone recently.
Okay.
Tissues. Army knife.
Yeah, very good. Boy Scouts.
I got some lips out.
Yeah. Now, presumably there is a genuine reason why you have all these things in there.
Okay.
So
use them from time to time.
Use them from time to time. That's true. So this is my bag today and most days. Okay. But when I go home today, I will empty it completely. I'll put it back in its place, and then if I'm going to use it tomorrow, I'll get it out, and then I will think carefully about what goes in it. So this is this. Weekend, okay, so I have lots of things like you, so I've got a phone, I've got keys, I've got a pen, I've got a folder, I've now got some cards from Maureen, I've also got a tablet, alright, that's in there as well, I've got my wallet and things like that. Things that I think I might need this coming weekend, but tomorrow might be a different day, and so I might want to think it again. What should I put in my bag today? Now, why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because think about the Samaritan for a moment. Right? Now, what made the Samaritan that day decide to put in his bag wine, oil, bandages, spare cash, and also to take a donkey? All right? Now, all those things that he had were going to be very relevant to the person he didn't know he was going to meet, but God had prepared him because God knew who he was going to meet. You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So you and I are going to meet different people. I've had a number of bags over the years, they've been different sizes, different uses, and I've worn them out, and I've started again. I used to carry a lighter at one time, even though I didn't smoke. And it's interesting when somebody comes up to you who does smoke and says, have you got a light? All right. I've got a light. Would you like a cigarette? I said, no, I don't smoke. And then they ask you, well, why are you carrying a lighter? All right, then you've already begun a conversation. So I try to think my way through. If the Good Samaritan had those things, any ladies or men got any bandages in their bags?
Plasters. Little plasters.
Little plasters. Okay.
Got some oil.
You got some oil, yes. You came prepared today. So if there's anybody who's not well, we can anoint you with oil at the end and pray for you. Because we've got oil today. But the Good Samaritan was made ready beforehand for the person that God was going to let him encounter and meet and help. And so I believe really that if we're serving the community, there's a sense in which we should be carrying, not necessarily in a bag, could be in a pocket, it could just be in our heart, but we would be carrying things that are helpful to people on that day. So let's go back to the beginning of the story for a moment. So where was the guy who was traveling going from, and where was he going to? Where is he coming from?
Jerusalem,
and he was going to Jericho. All right, now these parables that Jesus told, stories, yes, with meanings, but they were often based on events, things that had happened that people knew about, and so Jesus would take something of a real story and use it to bring a meaning. So this guy is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, we don't know why he was going there. And he had a choice of three routes. And we don't know why he chose that one, but you could say he perhaps made a bad choice, because in choosing the route that he chose, he got into trouble. But what I want us to understand really is that we're all journeying with God somewhere. And other people are journeying, maybe without God, not thinking about God, not thinking about what their life's about, but they're making a journey, and on the course of that journey sometimes there are difficulties and there are problems, and God is bringing you on your journey to meet that person and to be their helper. Yes? Do you know why I'm looking at her when I say that? Why I'm looking at Jenny? Some of you will. Because yesterday we were trying to make clear our various gifts, and you are a helper. Okay, so what's in your bag? It's quite a big bag. Look at this. Would you like to hold it up and stand up so the people can see? So, what do we think's in this bag then? So, phone?
Notebook?
Bank paying in book. Not many of us are carrying one of those. Why are you carrying one of those? So you look after the church's money?
Sometimes I pay the church.
Sometimes you pay the church's money in. Okay, anything else interesting in there? No flask?
No apples?
No apples.
No,
okay. Oh, tea bags. Quite handy, yes, for a journey. Yes, anything else of interest?
Sun hat.
Tissues. That's about it. Okay. So, why do you carry all of those things? Because you might need them, okay. So do you ever find yourself thinking, I'll put something in there that I might not need, but somebody else might need? No. Okay, but you will from now on, won't you? Say yes, please.
Yes, I will.
Yes, you will. That's good. Okay. But that's the point, really, is that the Lord goes before us in everything. He knows everything before we know it. Okay? Yes?
That's true, isn't it?
And so tomorrow, well, not even maybe tomorrow, this afternoon, okay, there might be just what you have in your handbag that someone needs. And sometimes it's just a very ordinary thing, sometimes it's much more dramatic. I was telling the story on one occasion, I was driving with Leslie down the M6, when looking ahead, as I've been taught, I saw a man on the side of the motorway, and I was pretty sure this man was going to try and walk across the three lanes. And sure enough, in the next moment, off he set. He got hit by a car, and he bounced off that car, and he ended up just in front of my car, and I was able to stop. I was quite glad that nobody else behind me went into me, but they went round me and other things. But anyway, eventually the whole three lanes were stopped. So I went out to him and I said to Leslie, down 999, we need police, we need ambulance. And so I went to him. He was generally okay, obviously hurt, but it wasn't life-threatening. His belongings had been scattered across the lanes. I went and I picked them up and I brought them to him and I just said, just hold on a minute, we're going to try and help you. Leslie called me back to say that the person she was speaking to wanted to know what we needed. So I took the phone, I said, oh, we're going to need the police and we're going to need an ambulance. And as I'm speaking to her on the phone, this lady, I'm looking down the road and there's an a police car reversing out of somewhere. It wasn't an obvious place, but he was reversing up, and he reversed all the way back up to us and said, okay, what's happened, and all that sort of stuff. And I said, well, we need an ambulance. As I looked over at the other lane, here was an ambulance that was coming. And in the space of less than 5 minutes, this guy was going to have all the attention that he needed. Now, that says to me that God had planned something for that man. And the provision was there. Why? Because God cares for us, God loves him, and subsequently, obviously, over the next few weeks, I had to make a statement, and in the process of that, I asked, is he okay? And they said, yes, he only broke his ankle. Now, that's quite fortunate. He'd been drinking, so he probably was quite relaxed and bounced off the car. But it was obvious to me that we had been there at that point, and I'm quite cool in those sort of situations, and so I was able to take command, if you like, really, and be able to make certain that person... Now, it wasn't, I suppose, the only thing I was carrying that was useful that day was a phone that he needed, really, but it was enough for that occasion. So I want to get you thinking that tomorrow, or even maybe this afternoon if you're going out, people are making a journey, and maybe God wants you to encounter, to meet someone. It may not be dramatic, it may be very simple, it may be just a kind word, it might be, would you like an ice cream? Whatever it might be, is being in that place where you are ready to meet the person that God wants to cross your path. And so the things that I do each week are, I think about what goes in here. What do I need in there? Now, some men, I suppose, never carry a bag, do they?
A laptop bag.
And is there anything else there besides the laptop?
Many things.
Many things, okay. So is this good for us to think, Father, we're here, resource me so that I can resource other people. Now, notice in this story, there's no criticism of the man who was injured. He could have chosen three routes. He chose one, bad choice, but there was no criticism for that. And so as we approach things, really, we want to recognize that for whatever reason, people have made decisions to go where they're going and to do what they're doing. So it's not for us to be judgmental, but it's just to be Christ to them at that point of need. It's interesting to me as well that even though we don't know the reason why he was making the journey, the end of the story tells us that he got to his destination. Although it took a number of things to happen, God still wanted him to get to where he was going, which was Jericho. And so often I find myself in a place where I'm there because God wants me to help people to get to their journey. Right? So
I'm in Tesco's one December, and we're buying, I'm buying, Leslie's not there, I'm doing the shopping, notice that, I'm doing the shopping, okay? We're having an event where we have a few friends back together, really old friends from the church, and we just have a bit of a time together. And I've done my shopping, I don't think it's extensive, I've put it on the whatever you call that thing, what? The counter, the conveyor belt. And I put this stuff down, and the lady who's serving me says, "That's an awful lot of stuff." It wasn't an awful lot of stuff, but I've seen others there sometimes who. It wasn't a lot, so she said to me, and at the moment she said, "That's an awful lot of stuff," I thought, here's an encounter. God's in this moment. So I said to her, "Well, we're going to have a few friends around tonight, and recollecting and enjoying some memories and just reminiscing, really, and it's just part of what we do." I said to her, "What are you going to be doing?" I'm watching, okay, there's no big queue coming. God's got that in hand as well, there's no big queue. Okay, so I'm all right, so I keep going. So I keep going. So I just said to her, "Well, what are you going to do?" Well, she says, "Well, I'm really interested in developing my creative artistic gifts." So I said, "Well, what are you doing here working on the till at Tesco's?" Well, she said, "It's just helping me to get some money." And I said, "Well, perhaps you ought to know, really, that I did art as my subsidiary subject when I was at Bristol. And I did dance and drama as my first main subject when I was teacher training. And we hold creative weekends. And would you like me to get some information and to help you really to pursue your job?" And she said, "Yes, I would." So I got some information. I saw her a second time, because you can imagine next time I went into Tesco, I was looking for her to go and see how she was. And I saw her a second time, encouraged her, and I've never seen her since. And I hope and I trust that she is now doing what God wants her to do. Right, so just a little conversation that day. It was shopping. All I had in my bag, if you like, was a credit card to pay. But that was enough to help this lady to get to the place where God wanted her to be. Yeah. So you don't have to necessarily carry very much in order to help that person. But this story tells us that God wanted that person to get from Jerusalem to Jericho. He wanted him to get there in such a way that he would eventually be able to carry on his journey. And everything that the Good Samaritan did made sure that this man could recover and then could carry on with his journey. So I hope in different ways that you can think of tomorrow, "Lord, just a simple prayer, maybe when you get up or when you're just getting dressed or whatever, Lord, is there anything that I should be putting in my bag? Or is there anything I should be wearing?" Well, there's an interesting one. So the reason they're laughing is I told them a story yesterday, because I found over the last 5 years or so that God has asked me to wear certain t-shirts at a different time, because those t-shirts are ways in which God's going to use a conversation to engage with someone and to help them. So we've got a man with a good t-shirt. Come up front and show us your t-shirt.
Oh, that's
a good t-shirt. Just show the people. For those who can't see, what does it say?
Catch up with Jesus. Let us pray. Praise and relish him, because he loves us from his head to our toes.
Ends behind cross. So that's fine. Good, isn't it? Good. All right, thank you. So I even think that in that way, God is preparing him. What's your name? Sorry?
Matthew.
And God prepared me really just to engage and to help people really to make the journey, to change their perspective. And so I want to just encourage you to be ready. Now, you will notice that a Levite passed by and a priest, and they passed on the other side. And that was because they thought that their religion meant that they couldn't get their hands dirty. To help someone, to care for someone, to bandage someone, to do all the things. Now, you and I need to know that if we're going to reach people in this community, we're going to have to get our hands dirty. I don't know what that will look like for you, but you need to be prepared to do that. And not to pass by on the other side, because you're getting your hands dirty. It's interesting, I was in Cheddar two weekends ago with Leslie, a bit like we've done this weekend really, and a lady came to me on the Saturday and she said, I've had a dream, and I can understand the last part of it, but I don't understand the first part of it. So I said, all right, tell me your dream. And so she said, I'm going to get a ladder. And this ladder, I have to move it somewhere, but this ladder is filthy dirty, and I don't really want to touch it because I'm going to get dirty. But she said to me, I do. And I move it, and I'm dirty, but at least I've moved it. And I said, well, that's a very simple dream to interpret. It just says that God wants you to get your hands dirty as you serve him. And actually, in the dream, what you've done is exactly that. So be encouraged that God has seen it, and he knows that if he needs you to get your hands dirty, you will get your hands dirty. And the other thing sometimes as well is that in this story, there is delay. Help does not come straight away, does it? So a couple of guys pass, and then it's a little while before the Samaritan comes. And that's taught me in life, you know, sometimes really, that we have to move at the pace of God. We have to move at the pace of God. That sometimes we would like God to move quicker than he does, but we have to believe in our hearts that God knows what he's doing, and if we are the one to be of service, then that will happen. All right, so let me tell you how this reflected on me one day. Now, for many, many years in the past, so this story is about 8 years old, I have prayed for North Korea. It's been in the news a lot recently, hasn't it? I knew the persecution of Christians, but also through sources of information I have, I knew that people were so hungry that they were eating their children. I can imagine how I felt about that. And I said to God, I would like, it's much more close than it is today, of course, I would like to help. Is there a way to help? And I didn't know that there was any way to be able to do anything. Now, I live in a little village, probably less than 1,000 people, maybe 800 people. Every Thursday, the little news agent delivers the local paper. And I always look at the local paper from front to end because I think I need to know what's going on in the area. And so I'm reading this newspaper, and I come across an advert. And it says, we have a way to get money and help into North Korea. If you can help us, contact us. Right? It's a well-known charity. But nevertheless, there it was. Now, you could have blown me over with a feather that the newspaper should come to me in a small village and answer my prayer, how, Lord, can I help them? Right? Of course I did. I responded to that, got some good feedback and everything else. But what I want to say to you is that you can be God's hands to reach those that he wants you to reach. And your hands can travel much further than you can. Yes? Okay? You can go to places through your hands, through your checkbook, where you may not be able to go. But some of you may still have a destiny whereby actually you will go to some of these places. At one time, when we were working for Prophetic Word Ministries, I led a reconnaissance group into Albania before Albania was free. And I took a team of people over there. I was followed all day by the KGB, That's the secret police. I was working with a lady, we were in twos, and I said to this lady at some point, I'm going to go to the loo, and if the KGB man follows me, I'm going to slip back and I'll meet you at the back of this building. Sure enough, he followed me to the loo. I pretended to do what I was doing, nip, because he also was going to do what he was going to do. I nipped back out of the way, went on the back of the building, met Madeline, who was my partner at that time in terms of my Christian work, and we went down streets that we were not allowed to go. And as we saw, I don't speak any Albanian, okay, so, but people were smiling at us, we were smiling at them, and I felt God say to me in that moment, they know that freedom is coming. They know that change is coming. And so we were just, in a way, there to bring good news. And obviously you know that things have changed dramatically there. So sometimes God may take you to where you think you can't go, but actually you can. And nothing is impossible with God. Is that true?
Amen.
Yeah, okay, nothing's impossible. You may think you are too old, or too young, or too infirm. That may be the case, but if you offer yourselves to God, you don't actually know what might happen to you. I think that's the really exciting thing. Now, he sets off on his journey with his wine and his oil and his bandages and his donkey and his spare cash. I don't know what he was thinking that day, but he was ready. He was prepared. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe it took him a while there. Maybe it wasn't the first day he got there. Maybe two or three days. But he got there and he had exactly what was needed. So you and I have to have a place of faith, okay, that God will speak to us and we will be ready. Right. Now, there are lots of easy things that you can do, like bake a cake, send some flowers, send an email, send a text. There are ways in which you can do things that are very simple if you are guided by the Lord. And the reason I tell you some stories is because I want you to know that it's not difficult listening to God. So one of the places we go quite often to is the New Forest, to work with a church down there, and we always see one couple there. We've been friends for a long time, and whenever we go to see them, we always take chocolate digestive biscuits. Always. This night, I'm going, as it happens, on my own, and I'm thinking, no. And I go into the local supermarket and I get some bread. And I take the bread with me and I go to see them. And I said, sorry, no chocolate biscuits today, I'm bringing you bread. She said, no, we have no bread in the house. We have no bread in the house. Okay. Now, I don't know these things in and of myself. But it's the Holy Spirit whispering, giving me thoughts if I didn't have ideas. Sometimes I look at a picture, sometimes, you know, I might be watching a TV program and God just drops something in my mind that, in a way, it's just there then for when God wants to use it. Yeah? And that's how I think a lot of what you do here in reaching people is going to be by you responding to what God has given you, which is for them. Okay? I mean, I carried my lighter probably for years. All right? Doesn't matter really if you still think, you know, the flask should be in there. You know? You ready to share that water with someone else? No! What's your name? Amy. Amy, right? Somebody needs to pray with Amy afterwards. Okay? But it doesn't matter really. We're joking around fun. But it's really this sense that the Good Samaritan provides through God what the other person needs. And this is the way in which you are going to love and demonstrate your love to people in this community. Am I explaining myself okay?
Yeah.
Do you want to ask me anything or want me to say something differently or help you? We're 5 to 12. Am I doing all right? Yeah? Okay, we're almost finished. Yeah? Anything anybody wants to ask or... Alright, let's be quiet for just a moment, and I want you to say, Lord, I want to open my ears, okay, I want to hear from you, whether you show me something, say something, whatever, just ask God
what should I carry in my bag this week? Or what should I carry men in my pocket? Or whatever that actually might be for someone else. Father, you know every day before it happens. You know the end of a thing from its beginning. So Lord, you know all about this week, what we're going to be doing, not doing, who we're going to meet, who we're not going to meet. We can trust you, Lord, that you've planned our future. And that because you care for the people in Lorne and beyond, you want to reach them with your love, and we are instruments of your love. So Lord, in these few moments of quietness, drop something in our mind that we should have available this week. Lord, I pray that you go on talking to us about those things that we should have in our bag, our sack, our laptop bag, or however we choose to move around with whatever equipment we've got. Whether it's by bike or by car or on foot or on bus or whatever it may be, Lord, help us to be the good Samaritan who has what the needy person needs from us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to sing a song and then I'm going to hand back to Christine. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so some people might not know this song, but it's a good song in relation to what we've been talking about today. Can we have it up so that we can see it? Well, I don't know whether you know this song, do you? Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Any followers of Songs of Praise? Because they sometimes, yeah, so they've sung this a number of times on Songs of Praise. So